Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the meditation this morning is Psalm 121. It's found on page 356, and I would invite you to refer to it during the course of my remarks. Not long ago, this pastor was telling me about this hospital visit that he made, in which, for just an instant, he had this doubt about whether he really knew what he was doing at all. He was in the hospital visiting this old lady who had fallen and broken her hip. He was sitting by her bed talking with her. And as part of their time together, they prayed and they recited this psalm, Psalm 121. When they got to verse 3, the old lady was praying to beat the band. "He will not allow your foot to slip. Your guardian will not sleep," she said with full conviction. Well, that's when the pastor was hit with the absurdity of the situation. Because here he was, sitting in the hospital with a woman who had slipped and fallen, listening to her assert that Yahweh wasn't going to let her slip. Now, the more skeptical among us have a tough time with that. Christians are irrational, they say. You refuse to admit the obvious, and you irritate us and every thinking person with your insistence in the face of evidence to the contrary. Indeed, they have a point, don't they? Christians are no more free of slipping or troubles than anyone else. There does seem to be a rather large gap between our assertions and the real world. In fact, Yahweh does often seem to have fallen asleep at the switch. He was snoozing when the old lady fell and broke her hip. Surely, the Almighty Maker of heaven and earth could have done something about that. But he never does he? Yahweh will protect you from all harm. He will protect your life. Yahweh will guard your going out and your coming in, now and forever. I'm sorry, but I simply don't see it. Now, all of the unanswered and unanswerable questions do wear on us, do they not? If we are at all human and look at the obvious facts, the apparent uncertainties and vicissitudes of life can leave us with more than a little doubt and fear. Because Yahweh, far from being a present help, often seems to be terrifyingly absent. And so there doesn't seem to be anyone guarding us or keeping the next tragedy from happening to us. I suppose if you want to extend the metaphor the way that the psalm suggests, we often ask the same question that the psalmist does. From where will my help come? When we look up at the mountains and see that they are uncrossable, that they hold dangers which we cannot avoid and which terrify us. From where will my help come? So in view of all this, is it really true for you that the answer is Yahweh, when it seems to be just the opposite? Look again at the psalm and think about that question. Because when you do, you will notice that the psalm doesn't at all suggest that Yahweh just helps anybody, or especially the good people, or those who try hard, or the especially pious people, or well-meaning people. And the biblical narrative certainly doesn't suggest that either. Just ask the Egyptians and the Canaanites and the Assyrians, all of whom God destroyed. He was not their guardian. And so what makes you so different? The Almighty Creator chooses whom he loves and not vice versa. And it is obvious throughout the scriptures that Israel is the object of his affections. Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated, God himself says. And so the psalmist says, look, the guardian of Israel does not slumber, and he does not sleep. The promises in the psalm are for Israel. Lord, have mercy on the rest of us. But wait a minute. Look again at what the psalmist says in the next verse. The guardian of Israel does not sleep. But then he turns to you individually, and he speaks to you very personally. Yahweh is your guardian. Yahweh is your shade upon your right hand. The psalmist is talking directly to you, and he is speaking on Yahweh's authority. Yahweh is your guardian. That means that you are Israel. The words of the psalmist actually make it so, and they announce your election. God announces the same thing to you in your baptism. There God brought his election to pass and marked you out as one of his own. And so Paul says about baptism, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. No longer a stranger, you are now members of God's household. And so the resurrection and life obtained by Christ, the Israel of God, have been applied to you. No matter what things look like, those blessings of Christ are yours in your baptism, and they are considerable. The fact is, by God's choice, the God who made all things and who rules and governs all things, by his choice, nothing will separate you from his love in Christ. Nothing. No wonder Paul says all these weird things like this. I boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul's apparent weakness is really just the opposite, strength. It's a great mystery, but no less true. Paul also says, our momentary light affliction is producing in us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comprehension. How can that be? It looks like affliction, but its end is just the opposite, glory. He even goes so far as to say, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We can't see how that can possibly be true, but that's what he says. The world calls that kind of thinking and that kind of living foolishness, but it is really just the opposite. The power of God and the wisdom of God. And so you see, the psalmist is talking to you as one of Yahweh's elect. And so the assertions of the psalm do hold for you. Yahweh is your guardian. We can't see that now because now we live by faith and not by sight. As Luther says, everything we believe is hidden under an object, perception, or experience which is contrary to it. But it won't be that way forever. This reality is now hidden, but will one day be revealed. And so the old lady with the broken hip was not living in this delusion when she recited Psalm 121. In fact, just the opposite. Although now she can't discern the pattern, we see through a glass darkly. On that last great day, she will, face to face. She is a child of God, and she will not be put to shame because not one promise will fail for her. And not one promise will fail for you either. You will not be put to shame. All of you who are part of our community, and all of you who are here visiting this weekend and may be facing some difficult and rather frightening and scary decisions about your future, no matter what may happen and how contrary things become to what you might expect or desire, remember that you won't be put to shame. The words of Psalm 121 are words that you can confidently assert to each other and to yourself. The Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, your Redeemer, stands behind them. Amen. Now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which passes all our understanding, keep your hearts and minds together in Christ Jesus.